You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We did break down the 2020 NFL Draft in detail for you, all the offensive skill players, the notable picks there, things that are changing the landscape of fantasy football, where those rookies rank as well. So if you missed any of that, round one analysis, round two, round three, rounds four through seven, as well as putting them in a blender and spitting out our early top 25 rankings, those are all up. We thought we'd close the week, however, looking at a little bit of sleeper action. Now we'll go through the positions again. We'll go sleeper bust here early in the process. So we'll revisit all this a little bit later as we get closer to fantasy football draft time, but it's right after the NFL draft, so we thought we'll break it down for you. So quarterback sleepers are on deck first, including, believe it or not, Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. They should be considered sleepers where they're ranked here in 2022 so far. So very interesting, but I'm sure things will change as we learn more about these new look offenses with some changes at quarterback, some had the changes in the weaponry. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. Now, let's dive right in. And the first guy that is underrated is Aaron Rodgers. And why is he underrated? Well, he's at the 12-13 borderline, wherever you look at it on the rankings now. Two guys are kind of lumped in right there. And we know in a 12-team league, that defines QB1, and that's the line. Where Aaron Rodgers is below that line, Ryan, right now. 13, you have Deshaun Watson right at that line at 12. So we'll talk about those two guys first that stand out here. Now, Aaron Rodgers, we know the big concern was not only losing Davante Adams, but also Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But you look at the other things that have happened. Robert Tonyan is back healthy. He's in the mix here. You got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. You still have Alan Lazard here and Randall Cobb. So we've got some weaponry from last year. He's not totally void. I think some people are looking at it from like a few years ago where Aaron Jones was a big touchdown maker and it hurt Rodgers' numbers where he's been throwing as much in the red zone. But I don't think that is affected too much. I mean, I think you'll get some good production from Watson. There's vacated targets. Yeah, but you have Watson and Doubs and some of these other guys, including Sammy Watkins, that will help pick up the slack here in the passing game. And he's made it work without one alpha like Adams before. It's just hard to think back. I mean, you go back to Jordy Nelson. But early in his career, the numbers came through with the throwing to a variety of guys before Nelson kind of emerged as the go-to guy. Same thing happened with Donald Driver. Those type of players over the years with the Packers, there's been a different guy emerge at wide receiver. So, again, Aaron Rodgers finds a way to get it done. This offense is very explosive. It plays well off the running game. The offensive line should be better. David Bakhtiari back, at least to hold up for one more season. So everything's nice around Aaron Rodgers. He's a two-time MVP. Every time we keep doubting whether he can keep putting up those numbers, we thought that he was going to have a drop-off last year. Didn't quite happen. So Aaron Rodgers is going to keep pushing here. Now that he's not worried about the future with the team and all that, he knows Adams is moving on. So I think he'll make it work with one Christian Watson pretty well. So I would be shocked, again, to drop him out of the QB1 range. I still think he belongs there firmly up there. And there's some overrated guys in that list, but we'll save that for another show. Another guy that's underrated right there at 12-13, depending on what rankings you look at. We look at Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus. I think right now Watson is 12, Rodgers is 13 in that order. So we took Rodgers first because it was a bit surprising to see him below that line. But Watson being at 12 is also pretty shockingly low here. He's produced at a high level whatever season it's been with the Texans. Now, the Browns are a much better team than Houston, and we know he just needs that one receiver to help make things special all over the field. You have Amari Cooper doing that, so he's in good hands with Cooper. And then you have Anthony Schwartz, who can make big plays here. The Donovan Peoples-Jones starting on the outside, so that's good news. And then you get a big slot potentially in David Bell. You have David Njoku at tight end. You lose Austin Hooper, but you still have another option there in Harrison Bryant. You know that We know they have a good option out of the backfield here with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. So they are really set up here for Watson to keep producing. This is more than he pretty much had for much of his Texans time. We know the best production came when he had DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. I know the Browns have considered a Will Fuller type, but they really have Peoples Jones to be in that role here as a big playmaker outside. So when you look at just Peoples Jones and Cooper, very much parallel to what Watson had, then you throw in the tight ends, you throw in the extra receivers, you throw in the backs, and you feel better about him. So Deshaun Watson should be a high-end QB1 at this rate, especially when you add that running floor to his game. So when look at that. I mean, I think you look at 12-13 and Rodgers just getting it done with his arm and touchdowns. I just think you were looking at two undervalued guys versus some of the guys that have crept into the top 12. Another guy that continues to be undervalued, and this is a guy that we'll bring up in this segment, is the third quarterback kind of near that QB1 range, Kirk Cousins of the Vikings. Now, love the offense they're in with Kevin O'Connell. I think this takes Cousins up maybe a notch here. We know the effect that O'Connell and the Rams with the Sean McVay had on the big arm of Matthew Stafford. Well, Cousins is a lot like Matthew Stafford to me. He's got that massive arm, but he's got to be well protected in the pocket. We know Christian Darrisaw is there on the left side. You got some big playmakers, we know. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne. Add a little bit of depth in the draft. You also get Irv Smith Jr. back. You can't ignore that. And Dalvin Cook, we know, a very adept receiver out of the backfield. So Cousins finished inside. He was a QB 11 in a lot of formats last year. When you look at 6 points per passing TD, I think he's right there. Then Cousins, the downside is he's not going to give you anything in the running game. But again, prolific passing team the Vikings are. I think they're going to open things up more with O'Connell there. And it's a really good situation. I think the line is pretty good. The weapons are outstanding. You know, Jefferson is going to go off. I think Thielen still has a little bit left in the tank. Some younger people will come along there in the supporting cast here for the Vikings. So Kirk Cousins still underrated. I think both of these guys I mentioned, Rodgers and Cousins, ranked outside of the top 12. And Watson being right at 12. Should have boost much higher than that. So I see Rodgers and Cousins, again, finishing well inside the top 12 QBs. The weapons are too good. And sometimes you define that quarterback by their weapons. Rodgers, not as much. I think you look at him independent, being a talent, that he's not going to lean on those guys as much. But Kirk Cousins needs those weapons. He's got those weapons. He's got the protection. He's got the play caller. So Cousins overrated outside of the top 12. We still have six more guys overrated across the board outside of that QB1 range. Some QB2 sleepers that we want to look at here, and we'll talk about them in our final two segments. I do have to tell you, we know just 2 days away is Mother's Day here, and it's really time to consider what you're going to get mom. Upgrade from the gift you may have been already thinking about getting. The only place you can do that is BlueNile.com and find jewelry. It's hard to pick and choose, but Blue Nile has jewelry experts on it 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift on every budget. Mark Mother's Day with something enduring: classic diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstone pendants, and so much more on BlueNile.com. If you're celebrating any special moment in your life, whether significant other or daughter, on BlueNile.com, you can easily navigate thousands of fine jewelry options at every price point. We know not only Mother's Day, but birthdays, graduations, things that you have to take care of the special people in your life. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Fantasy Football listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast is exclusive, and it is only good through Mother's Day. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. So you can keep it a surprise there, and you can see mom's face light up on Sunday morning, afternoon, right around brunch. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace for that special person in your life. And this Mother's Day, just knock it out of the park. Just go to BlueNile.com today, and they will take care of you there. We also know it's a big weekend in sports as we continue. There's no NFL, but we're talking off-season and draft, and we know the USFL is in action, so you still have some of football. We know that baseball is going fully into its second month here. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, but this weekend has something even extra special. The Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby is back. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including what you need to help you with the playoffs in hoops and hockey, and with MLB. And if you're new to horse racing, good time to get on it to get into the 2022 Kentucky Derby. Some really good horses to pick from, including Epicenter and Zandon and Messier, named after Mark Messier. And they'll get you in a mood, we know, to also get into some hockey betting as well. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, it is time to continue the show, breaking down three more sleepers, and then we'll hit our final three. So we're going through nine quarterback sleepers initially here from the results of the 2022 NFL Draft. Who's up here? We'll look at who's down there on Monday's show. We'll do the bus that we're looking at initially on the rankings here at quarterback for 2022 Fantasy Football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Let us go to our next sleeper, Trey Lance. He's right around 15 in the rankings at this point. I think people are in a holding pattern, looking to see, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be gone from this mix to confirm Lance's starting status in year two with the 49ers? The thing that Trey Lance offers in the scoring that really boosts his value is the running ability. I think they'll have designed run packages for him. That's going to open things up for good yardage and extra scoring there. So that's going to help Trey Lance quite a bit, because we know this is still a run-first team. So that actually might help Trey Lance, because playing off Elijah Mitchell right now, you'd think would be the feature back there. They still have the other guys, Jeff Wilson and Jermichael Hasty, got a couple other options here in the backfield. But they're going to be an effective running team, still pretty good offensive line up front, even without Laken Tomlinson. They're going to run the ball. That's going to help Lance play off that. You also know that Debo Samuel is still in the mix with George Kittle and Brian Ayuk. So you combine the weaponry still in the downfield passing game. Jimmy Garoppolo was about QB 17 last year, 16 in some cases. Well, Trey Lance can definitely build on that because of the running floor. And again, the inexperience is there. Garoppolo is delivering to these guys in a good chemistry with Samuel, Ayuk, and Kittle. That's something that Trey Lance will have to recreate here all throughout his second offseason with the team. But again, this kid has massive upside written all over him with his arm. He's a great offensive system here, and just the physical tools are there to dominate and take full advantage of the 49ers' skill positions and blocking. The next guy we have to look at is Tua Tagovailoa. He was buried among the QB2s last year, but he's climbing up. He's into the teens comfortably now. And you start looking at the weapons. I mean, we know he has a good chemistry with Mike Gesicki. Jalen Waddle had a pretty good first year. They did move on from Devontae Parker, but they made a huge upgrade there in Tyreek Hill. We know it can make the quarterback look a lot better. The key for Tagovailoa, get the ball in Hill's hands effectively so he can make plays. He may not be able to rifle it downfield and as accurate as Patrick Mahomes with the arm, but I think you'll see Tua be rather effective there in getting the ball short to intermediate. Hill can make plays after the catch, get it to him in space, just like Waddle was last year. Mike Gesicki, another good intermediate target there that you can look at. So three really special weapons for Tua. And don't forget, they upgraded the offensive line with two big moves there. Teron Armstead of the Saints on the left side. You also have Connor Williams from the Cowboys. So really have committed there. Much better protection, setting up for Tua to use that big left arm to get the ball downfield, to get these guys going. And again, having the after-catch ability that Hill and Waddle have is huge. So that's going to help with Tua get some cheap yardage that way. They can be shot out of cannon, turn a 6 or 7 yard pass into like a 25 to 40 yard gain. It can happen a lot with Waddle and Hill. That's how speedy and quick they are. But speedy, quickie, however you look at it, all the fast words there for Hill and Waddle, they all are in effect. And we have those type of weapons here for Tua. It's going to be a bonanza potentially of scoring. So it really comes down to Tua just maturing, growing here, building on these weapons, and really pushing forward. Really, there's no excuse now. I mean, you look at where Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are from the same draft class. This is a put-up-or-shut-up year for Tua, so there's going to be some motivation as well there to make sure he's locked in and contract extended there for a second big deal in Miami. So another guy that's going to be motivated is Matt Ryan. And Ryan has heard about the Deshaun Watson rumors with the Falcons. He was very unhappy about that. What happened? They had to trade him. He didn't want to be there, and that was the latest report that we got. So Matt Ryan moves on to Indianapolis. And something to note here that Carson Wentz finished as QB14 last year. Phillip Rivers, not as prolific the year before. Wentz did put up some good numbers. He actually cut down the interceptions. He did make a lot of mistakes in terms of bad timing and not delivering when they needed, and also not making the big plays that were there from time to time. And that was the frustrating part, why they moved on from Carson Wentz. But reality aside, and not coming through and getting them into the playoffs with Jonathan Taylor and that defense, Wentz just didn't fit exactly what they wanted to do. And again, he still produced pretty well. So Matt Ryan has an opportunity here. The key is going to be who holds up at left tackle. Do they have to go out and get Dwayne Brown as a makeshift solution? Do they like Bernard Raimann to be the guy there, their left tackle, the rookie second-round pick from Central Michigan to replace Eric Fisher? Is that good enough to protect Ryan at his age? His dwindling arm strength is a concern. Also, the fact that he's not going to give you much in the running game. But then we talked about Alec Pierce, how excited we were about him joining this fray here. Remix this receiving core quite a bit. So no Jack Doyle, no T.Y. Hilton, no Zach Pascal. But you have Michael Pittman Jr. He can be an alpha there. Pierce can play off him well. You also have an upgrade at tight end. You got Jelani Woods there, giving him a little bit of an athlete behind Mo Alie-Cox. So Jack Doyle is pretty good, but he's limited. He's not the most dynamic receiver in this offense. So Frank Reich remixing this a little bit. Maybe he can stretch the field a little bit better in 11 personnel here. And Paris Campbell also figures to have a big role in what the Colts want to do here if he can stay healthy. So you look at between Campbell, Pittman, and Pierce, that's a pretty good starting trio that you look at. Pittman and Pierce also have the size to finish well in the red zone. Ryan also likes throwing to the tight end. We saw with Austin Hooper back in their best days together with Atlanta. So you got Mo Alie-Cox being a target there. You can look in the red zone. So there's a potential here. Matt Ryan also a very good play action quarterback. John Taylor, they also see an expanded role. Taylor's a good receiver, but Nyheim Hines could be a bigger factor here coming out of the backfield to help Matt Ryan as well. So there's going to be some weapons. There's going to be decent protection here for Ryan in Indianapolis. Again, he can only go up here. It was a very disappointing season with basically no weapons there in Atlanta. But if the protection can come through a little bit, the running game comes through reliably as we expect with John Taylor, there's going to be some good downfield passing opportunities. And Ryan is going to take some pressure off himself and be in position to put up some better numbers in the passing game. So don't sleep on Matt Ryan in Indianapolis. I like to fit, and that's the reason they pivoted back to a Phillip Rivers, more pocket passer type, and then more of an improviser type in Carson Wentz, who can sometimes play outside of the playbook. All right, we still have three more guys. We're going to dig deep for some sleepers here in our final segment here as we talk about quarterback sleepers. We will talk about quarterback busts on our next show here, we will do this through all the positions, so see where we're at. Also give us an update with the rankings in a different type of way here on Locked On Fantasy Football as we go slowly into mini camps and the summer break here for NFL teams. Speaking of summer and summer break coming, with summer, you're going to need some food on the go, and healthy food and delicious food at that. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures wherever they may lead you. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. So no more sacrificing delicious food for health, and no more unnecessary stops for unhealthy food when you've got Built Bar on the go. With Built Bar, you can have both the delicious and the healthy, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. And you got to try the puffs too. Built Bars are great in itself, but their puffs, their other bars are excellent as well. They're marshmallow in the form of a protein bar. They come in crazy great flavors, including banana cream pie and cinnamony churro. Who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro? And also, they're only 140 calories. Sign us up for sure. We said those are only low in calorie, but so are the ones that you get traditional Built Bars. 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, 4 net carbs. Built Bar is going to be way better than you. For a candy bar, they usually have 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. And it's hard to pick your best Built Bar flavor. The best way to try all the puffs and bars and get a little bit of everything for everyone is to get a mix pack, and that gives you 12 flavors of bars and puffs. So everyone can be satisfied. You can distribute them, and everyone's got their Built Bars for their trip and wherever you go. Good time to do summer hiking, and Built Bar can carry you through that. Just again, throw it in, be prepared, and you will be happy and healthy with Built as your snack to go. Go to Built.com to get all your favorites. Banana cream pie, as we mentioned, but raspberry, double chocolate, coconut, coconut almond, so many good flavors, peanut butter brownie, those type of flavors. If you like peanut butter and chocolate, Built Bar has got something for you. If you don't like nuts or you're allergic to nuts, plenty of other nut-free options for you as well. So all delicious. New flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, to let us close the show here and talk about our final three deep sleepers here. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. And these guys are going to be free and available in a lot of drafts because people are just going to forget about them in fantasy football. At quarterback right now, the Lions are sticking with Jared Goff as their number one. And they didn't really go in this direction in the draft. We thought that was a bit of a surprise, but they're also tabling it possibly for the bigger prizes next year in their mind. C.J. Stroud of Ohio State and Bryce Young out of Alabama. So Jared Goff gets one more year to serve as the bridge quarterback here in Detroit, and maybe he can help Detroit improve. But look at the weapons for Jared Goff all of a sudden. T.J. Hockenson back healthy. DeAndre Swift, a great receiver out of the backfield. So those are your givens. Amon-Ra St. Brown really came on as a slot ace as a rookie late last season. We know that. He emerged and helped a lot of fantasy football teams. So you get him. You bring in D.J. Chark. Remember what he did for Gardner Minshew a few years ago? Chark was producing consistently. He scored every week or got to 80 to 100 yards. It was very consistent with DJ Chark. So if he can return well from that ankle injury he suffered against the Bengals early last season on Thursday night, I think you're looking at a legitimate second real weapon, one on the outside. And their third weapon outside, Jameson Williams. So they make the trade up in the draft to number 12 with the Vikings. Get Williams. So you start looking at the weapons. Lions are not pushovers at this position anymore. St. Brown was a big pickup last year. Now you get Chark and Williams and Hockenson there. And Swift, there's a lot of sources for not only downfield plays and yardage, but also touchdowns here. And we think the Lions defense will still be in progress. A lot of passing volume ahead here for Jared Goff. If he stays healthy and out there, there's going to be some garbage numbers to be put up in this offense for sure with the weaponry he has. So Jared Goff, a little bit underrated right now, way underrated. He's buried well there, borderline QB2-3. I think this is a guy that's going to be valuable. If you're going platoon or streaming situation with multiple guys, Jared Goff has to be considered here this season. All right, the next guy I'm going to go with is our rookie, our lone rookie that will break down as a sleeper here. Now, Mitchell Trubisky, he's ranked right around the early 30s here in fantasy because we don't know who's going to start, but I would put my money with Kenny Pickett starting immediately as the first-round pick out of Pittsburgh, so it makes the transition from the same practice facility to just going college to pro here, so a lot of familiarity, a lot of weaponry as well. When we went through the weapons, same thing with Goff having all the wide receivers. Pickett has that and the tight end and Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris on the backfield, so he's got his version of Hockenson and Swift there with Freiermuth and Harris, and then you get to the receivers, same thing with Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool on the outside. Rookie George Pickens is going to get a shot as a big slot here in the middle. Calvin Austin, also out of Memphis, can fly and give them another playmaking element. So there's a lot around the quarterback. This offensive line is a little bit decent as well. And that's the thing with Goff. I mean, Goff has a strong offensive line. The Steelers have an improving offensive line. So a lot of things are in place for these guys. Put up some numbers. The biggest concern is, will the Steelers get a little conservative there, use Najee Harris in the running game a little bit to play off the defense? No, I think with Matt Canada, they wanted to improve that element because it was missing with Ben Roethlisberger and his weakened arm here. So you look at Kenny Pickett, I think he can make up for that with some nice downfield deep accuracy. We talked about Pickett liking him right snap mac dab in the middle of the rookie rankings there, but quarterback, again, a guy that I would stash on my bench. We want to see how it plays out here with him and Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think Mason Rudolph is going to be a factor, but whoever gets the keys to the Steelers offense, whether it's Trubisky or Pickett, is going to be underrated and find a way to get him in there. And keep in mind this division. You got Deshaun Watson with the Browns, Joe Burrow with the Bengals, and Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. So there's going to be some high-scoring games. This is maybe the black and blue AFC North from the past, and there's some pretty good defensive players here, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, list goes on, but I think this one, this division is going to be more about offense. And Kenny Pickett, again, if he's got to get in quarterback duels with those guys, assuming he beats out Trubisky, we have to look at him on the fantasy football radar. And finally, we look at our last guy, Zach Wilson. So this is similar to the Tua Tagovailoa thinking here with Wilson. He gets another weapon in Garrett Wilson. He's got Corey Davis. He's got Braxton Berrios still. And then Elijah Moore was a revelation last year as a rookie. You can put him anywhere in the formation, but he figures to be the slot guy. Berrios gives you a little bit of extra depth to get a slot option. You have now two tight ends that had some numbers last year at times. CJ Uzama, formerly of the Bengals, and Tyler Conklin, formerly of the Vikings. So they come together on this team. They also used a draft pick on Jeremy Ruckert, a third tight end, a receiver with some upside out of Ohio State. So, man, there's just a lot here. And then you look at the offensive line. You get Laken Tomlinson, Mekhi Becton. Hopefully he stays healthy. Elijah Vera Tucker. So you have him and Tomlinson taking over at the guards here. So they are in really good shape. And watch out again for Max Mitchell taking over, the rookie there from Louisiana, to take over from a George Fan at right tackle. So there could be some massive improvements. It's a very good offensive coordinator there, Michael Thor, with those 49ers concepts. Good 11 personnel options, good 12 personnel options. So everything is there for Zach Wilson. Don't forget, he's also a pretty good athlete, and he can run and get yardage that way as well. So that helps his number. So if I had to pick between Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, who I'm trusting more in fantasy, who can have a bigger year, if Wilson stays healthy, it's going to be 100% him. I think Lawrence is in a mess. He's learning a new offense there in year two. The receivers are still in flux there, while everything is lined up really well for Zach Wilson. So Tua in year three, Zach Wilson in year two, no excuses for these two AFC East quarterbacks as they try to separate a little bit from Mac Jones and get closer to the class of the division of quarterback in fantasy and reality, Josh Allen. So there you have it. There's your nine initial sleepers here for quarterbacks at fantasy football here in 2022. We'll look at the busts, so the guys that are a bit overrated there in our next show. Then we'll go through the positions much the same way. We'll go through running back, wide receiver, and tight end as well to cover you through. And then we will also take a break next week to look at the schedule there. It'll come out on Thursday night on May 12th, so we'll have some schedule reaction to you on Friday there. So after things are set here with how they might play out from a fantasy football perspective, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now, make your second listen Locked On NFL. The schedule may be dark for now. We'll have an actual schedule to look at next week, but the NFL never stops, as we know, and neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday.